Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Stand Firm and Act Like Men. Becoming the Man You Were Created to Be, instead of Who the World Says You Are, is a Christian nonfiction book by Pastor Joby Martin. Written for men who want a biblically grounded understanding of masculinity, framed around 1 Corinthians 16:13, the book argues that modern culture has confused manhood with outward stereotypes and self-expression detached from responsibility. While scripture presents manhood as spiritual vigilance, sacrificial service, leadership, and love, its purpose is not to offer a general self-help program, but to reinterpret male identity through the lens of worship, family duty, and faithfulness to Christ. The tone is direct and pastoral, aiming at readers who are wrestling with questions about what it means to be a man in church, home, and society. As a result, the book sits squarely in the category of practical Christian guidance, combining theological claims with actionable expectations for daily life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, biblical manhood as identity received from God rather than performed for culture. A central argument of the book is that manhood is not something a man invents for himself or defines through cultural signals. Martin rejects shallow markers such as toughness, possessions, or masculine image management, and instead treats manhood as a God-given calling tied to worship and obedience. This matters because it relocates the question of identity from public approval to biblical authority. By doing so, the book challenges readers to ask not how masculinity is currently marketed, but what scripture says a man is for. The emphasis on manhood being bestowed rather than self-created also changes the ethical burden. A man is accountable for how he receives and uses his calling, not for how impressively he performs it. This framework gives the book its theological backbone and explains why its advice repeatedly returns to surrender before God as the starting point for maturity. Secondly, 1 Corinthians 16:13. As the organizing framework for masculine responsibility, the book is built around the command to be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and do all things in love. Rather than treating this verse as a slogan, Martin uses it as a practical structure for thinking about male conduct. Each phrase implies a different dimension of responsibility: alertness to danger, doctrinal stability, moral courage, strength under pressure, and love that governs authority rather than replacing it. This is important because the verse prevents the book from collapsing into mere aggressiveness or passivity. The call to stand firm suggests resistance against spiritual and cultural drift, while the call to love keeps that firmness from becoming harshness. The result is a model of masculinity that is both protective and relational, intended to shape how men think, speak, lead, and endure hardship. The book's interpretation of this verse gives it coherence and makes the teaching feel directive rather than abstract. Thirdly, family leadership expressed through service, provision, and protection. Another major theme is the claim that a man's calling is most clearly seen in the way he serves his family. Martin presents leadership not as domination, but as responsibility providing, protecting, guiding, and taking initiative for the good of others. This focus gives the book a domestic and relational center, showing that biblical masculinity is measured in everyday faithfulness rather than public status. The family is treated as the primary place where manhood becomes visible, because it requires consistency, sacrifice, and self-control. The book also links leadership to humility, arguing that a man must be willing to place the needs of wife, children, and household ahead of ego. That framing is analytically significant because it resists two opposite errors common in masculinity discussions: abdication and control. Men are neither detached observers nor authoritarian rulers. They are accountable servants whose strength should create stability for those under their care. This practical emphasis makes the book especially applicable to husbands and fathers. Fourthly, spiritual warfare and moral vigilance as necessary features of mature masculinity. The book repeatedly presents manhood as a matter of alertness in the face of spiritual and cultural deception. Martin uses the language of the full armor of God and standing guard to describe a man's responsibility to recognize threats to faith, family, and church. This is not framed as paranoia, but as realism about the pressure men face to become careless, compromised, or spiritually asleep. The concept of vigilance expands masculinity beyond personal discipline into communal protection, since the man who is spiritually alert helps shield others from destructive ideas and habits. The book's focus on lies and opposition also signals that masculine maturity includes discernment, not just confidence. A strong man in this view is one who can identify falsehood, resist temptation, and remain steady when culture shifts. That balance between watchfulness and courage gives the book its edge. Masculinity is portrayed not as aggression toward people, but as readiness to defend truth, endure suffering, and remain anchored in faith. Lastly, a corrective to crisis rhetoric by replacing confusion with a concrete Christian model. the book responds to what it describes as a crisis of masculinity, but it does not simply complain about the problem. Its significance lies in offering a specific alternative to both cultural confusion and vague religious encouragement. Instead of leaving readers with a generalized call to be better men, it supplies a framework rooted in scripture, family duty, service, and spiritual discipline. That makes the book useful in church men's groups and personal study because it is easy to translate into conversation and action. At the same time, its perspective is clearly conservative and traditional in the sense that it affirms male responsibility, leadership, and complementarity within a Christian worldview. Readers looking for a sociological or gender theory approach will find a different kind of book here. Its value is that it gives a coherent moral map, what manhood is, what threatens it, and how a believer should respond. In a crowded field of books on masculinity, that combination of directness, biblical anchoring, and practical application is what makes it distinctive. In conclusion, Stand Firm and Act Like Men will be most useful for Christian men, church leaders, fathers, husbands, and men's ministry groups that want a clear, scripture-based account of masculinity. It is also relevant for readers who are less interested in abstract debate than in a practical framework for living with responsibility, discipline, and spiritual seriousness. The main benefit of the book is that it replaces vague language about manhood with a concrete moral pattern shaped by 1 Corinthians 16:13 and by repeated appeals to service, protection, and love. That makes it especially workable in group settings, where the material can generate discussion about leadership, family life, and faithfulness under pressure. Compared with similar books on masculinity, it stands out for its direct pastoral tone and its refusal to separate male identity from Christian discipleship. It is not trying to reinvent manhood through psychology or culture analysis. It is trying to recover a biblical model that readers can apply in daily life. For audiences aligned with that purpose, the book offers clarity, structure, and a distinctly church-centered vision of what a man is for. If you would like to support Joby Martin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.